part two now of the broadcast, Romans, John, Galatians, Ephesians, as we speak about some of the more difficult understandings about the law and Paul's writings under the heading of the covenant of Yahweh, that one eternal covenant that he wants us to be his perfect bride when Messiah Yahusha returns. Incidentally, in our last broadcast, we had a technical problem where the left channel only was working. The left was working, so I'll try to correct that. But if not, hope you can hear it okay. I'm afraid that it might chop the volume in half. But anyway, we'll try to get left and right channels, both ears going there, both speakers going for you. All right? And hopefully that'll work. And if it doesn't, there's just nothing else I can do about it. I can't redo everything. Just do the best we can here with the tools that we have. Computers are like humans. They have faults, as we know. That's why we have to keep buying new ones every now and then, because silly things break down, and they shouldn't be doing that. They should last a good long time. Galatians 2:16 through chapter 3, verse 2, and then 10. And we'll be hopping around as well to the book of James. 2:16 of Galatians, Paul wrote this under the inspiration of the Ruach HaKadosh, under the Spirit. In the oldest religion, not known to man, but the oldest religion and writings, and I say that because all the other ones are inconsistent and they're phony, and most of the religions focus upon ourselves. We set ourselves up as a god to idolize ourselves or some other human being or some leader, king, or. But this is the only book that admits, the people are admitting, the leaders are admitting their own faults. David, you should hide that, shouldn't you, David? And Moses and so on, that they had failures and they were sinning here and there, and then they repented of it, of course, but just about every leader I can think of had some kind of a problem or another. But by the power of Yahweh, that he or she repented. And so it's being transparent, that each and every one of these scripture writers are transparent. They're not trying to hide something from us. So that came through. That came through for us clearly to see that their lives are genuine, and that they had difficulties, they had problems there, but by Yahweh's power that they overcame them. So I trust the scriptures even more because they were being authentic and genuine and transparent, telling their good features as well as their faults. Galatians 2:16, Paul said, or Shaul, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, they're not made right. A man never was made right by the works of the law, but even Abraham, kept the law, but by faith, Abraham trusted in Yahweh. It wasn't his works that saved him. It wasn't Moses' Ten Commandments that saved Moses. Knowing that a man is not made right by the works of the law, but by the faith of Yahusha, the Messiah, even we have believed in Yahusha, Messiah, that we might be made right, or justified there in the King James, by the faith of the Messiah, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified or made right. Let's see James 2:21 and 24. Actually, James, where was that? Verse 10? We might as well read all of these so you don't have to flip around. And sorry if this is another one of those left channel only broadcasts. I don't know. That's a very expensive microphone, and I think it's more the computer's fault than it is the expensive mic. So where are we now? 2? Yeah, I think we need verse 10 in this study. I'd like to preface that by saying that I think it was Martin Luther who denied the credibility of the book of James. I'm sorry that I don't have the authority to deny the authority of the book of James. And I don't see any problem in here with the book of James or Yaakov in the New Testament. I just don't argue with it or struggle or anything with any of these scriptures. I think they're all consistent with the rest of the Word. They certainly harmonize with Yahweh's Word. So I'm going to read it. And if somebody out there who's a follower of Martin Luther who doesn't believe in it, well, I guess that's their problem. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Now, what law is he talking about here? Verse 11, next verse. For he that said, do not commit adultery. Okay, that's in the Ten Commandments. And who said that? The person who spoke to Moses, who engraved the tablets with his finger. That's I believe it's the Son, Yahweh, who engraved the Ten Commandments. So he said, do not commit adultery. Said also, do not murder. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou murder, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So you speak, so do as they that were judged by the law of liberty. For you have judgment without mercy, that has showed no mercy. And mercy rejoices against judgment. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Now, there's another place in Scripture that says that it can, but if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to their body, what does it profit them? Or even, it doesn't profit you either. Even so, faith, if it has not works, faith is dead, being alone. And, we might define faith not only by the definition given there in Hebrews, but also by what is faith. Faith is our practice of following the Savior. That's what our faith is, but it's in vain. It's dead. There's nothing to it if we don't back it up. We don't have those works, and that's not just the works of helping people across the street, little old ladies and so on. It's the works are following Yahweh's commandments. We know that from reading other verses on the subject of what works, what are works. A man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you, my faith by my works. I'll show you my faith. It's by my works. That's what I should have told the arrogant Christian kid in the dollar store. Thou believest that there is one mighty one. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. And the devils believe there's a creator. They believe in Yahweh. So that doesn't make you all bad if you believe in Yahweh. The devils believe also and tremble. So we need to do more than what the devils are doing. James 2:19. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is barren or dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou, it was an offering. It wasn't a completed offering. Messiah substituted the lamb in his stead, or the son of Yahweh substituted the lamb in the stead of Isaac, but it was an offering to Yahweh. He had intended to do exactly as he was told to offer his son up back in Genesis 22, but as it turned out, the lamb was the substitute, and the lamb symbolically is the Messiah, who is our substitute, who died once on the tree at Calvary. When he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar, seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. The scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed Yahweh. He believed Yahweh, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of Yahweh. You see then how that works by a man. By works, a man is justified, and not by faith alone. And also is not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way in Joshua 2:21? Josh Yasha 2:1 through 21. Whereas the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Completing the book of James there. And that's about all the side trips we'll take from Galatians. So back then to our main text here for this hour, Galatians 2. And we read verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Yahusha. But, in verse 17, but if while we seek to be justified by the Messiah, if we ourselves also are found as sinners, is this therefore the Messiah, the minister of sin? Yahweh forbid. Go back to verse 14. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the evangel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why do you compel thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Now, don't let that confuse you. If you're a brand new believer, and you're only, say, 5 or 10 years old in Messiah, you may not understand that yet. We don't want to go by our preconceived ideas that have been given to us by our fathers, our parents, our ministers back in the Episcopal or Catholic or Charismatic or no-name church. Now we have to go by the new understanding that the Spirit gives us if we agree with His Scriptures, starting out with the Torah, Genesis 1. But if while we seek to be justified by Messiah, we ourselves also are found sinners, you know, someone who makes a practice of sinning, not just inadvertent, but a practice of sinning, so that person is called a sinner, is therefore Messiah the minister of sin? Yahweh forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto Messiah. I am impaled with Messiah. It uses the word crucified. I am impaled with Messiah. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Messiah liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of Yahweh, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the unmerited favor of Yahweh, commonly called grace, greasy grace. I do not frustrate the unmerited favor of Yahweh, for if righteousness come by the law, then Messiah is dead in vain. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? And, keep going here through verse 2. Before whose eyes Yahusha Messiah has been evidently set forth, impaled among you. This only would I learn of you, received you the Spirit by the works of the law? Or did you receive the Spirit by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, you are now made perfect by your flesh. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? And then verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. We read James 2:10 there, that you must be a doer of Yahweh's word, not just a hearer, not just a knower, not just a believer, not just a person who has a, quote, relationship, but one who is a doer of Yahweh's law, and a doer of Yahweh's word and Yahweh's law. So, maybe we should go back there to verse 8. And the scripture foreseeing that Yahweh would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the evangel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as you as are of the works of the law are under the curse. So does he mean then that we should disobey the law and not keep the Sabbath and not keep the feast days, and we should eat unclean animals, that we should murder, commit adultery, stumble a blind man, and no, he doesn't mean that, or take Yahweh's name in vain, or blaspheme, or commit idolatry? No, we need to, he says here, keep all the law. You, If you can't keep it all, then what happens? Are you going to be destroyed in the lake of fire if you don't keep it all for, you know, one moment out of your life? If you just stumbled even that one time, yes, that would be enough to say that you had sinned and that you need to be forgiven. You can't enter paradise or the gates of heaven or New Jerusalem or any of those places without the righteousness of Messiah. We need to be covered and forgiven by the blood of Messiah. The blood of Messiah, the blood of the Lamb, covering our transgressions, our inadvertent sins and transgressions, and also our sins of unbelief, also sins of ignorance, things that we didn't even understand because we hadn't read the law yet. We hadn't read that to find out what was required, what was right of us, and what was wrong in the things that we did. What was our behavior to be able to have that walk in Halakha with Yahweh? We hadn't read it yet, so we had sins of ignorance, many sins up to a certain point, and then we began to grow and hear Yahweh's word. We began to read and study his word and became more informed about what was right and what was wrong. So cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things in the law, which are written in the book of the law to do them. See again James 2:10, that he does insist that we must be doers of the law, among many other places in the word. Revelation 14, that those who keep the commandments of Yahweh are allowed into, not because of their keeping the commandments, but they are allowed into the kingdom of heaven because they were saved, which caused them to keep his commandments. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of Yahweh, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. See also Leviticus 18:5. Can we do Leviticus 18:5? In a moment there. Messiah has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. He has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He didn't say Messiah has redeemed us from the law. He says from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, curses everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Yahushua Messiah, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Through faith. Talk about Abraham there in Genesis 26:4. For he kept Yahweh's charge, his commandments, his statutes, his ordinances. Abraham kept Yahweh's law 400 and some years before Moses, before it was actually printed. It says he kept the commandments. What commandments? There was nothing written. Okay, Leviticus 18:5. You shall therefore keep my statutes, as Yahweh is speaking to the children of Israel through Moses. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am Yahweh. See also Romans 10:5. It says there, I love the heading there at the top. It says, forbidden degrees, that the publishers of this scripture version put down as summing up what's on this page. Forbidden decrees. Oh, degrees. They put degrees. I think they meant decrees or something. Forbidden degrees. I don't know. Down below that, verse 16, thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of, you know, the brother's wife and so on, of a woman and her daughter and so on. Those are forbidden degrees, according to them. Various laws. Now, what a heading. Various and sundry laws and you know, elements of bondage there, isn't it? We can't do this. We can't pick up a magazine in the grocery store and look through there. No. No, Yahweh forbid. There's going to be a lot of trash in there. We're going to be committing idolatry and adultery by viewing maybe our, you know, somebody next door, maybe viewing his wife unclothed. That wouldn't be right. So all those laws are for our good, actually protects us from getting wrong in impressions and images in our mind. We were in Galatians, and it was chapter 3, verse 14. So let's go down to Okay, Galatians 13. Hold on a second, give me chapter 3, huh? Okay, verses 10. I guess we're going to try to go pretty much to the end here. I think we have time here. We got another 10 minutes or so. We've gone 20 minutes into the broadcast. We got 10 minutes more. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, and be careful there, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham, see, there's a lot of things that you'd have to explain here if you just went to a brand new believer and immediately went to the book of Galatians. You'd have to explain a lot here, and it would wouldn't be easy without first establishing the groundwork, the basis. You'd have to go back to what did Paul know when he wrote this? You'd have to go back to the Torah, because Paul knew the Torah and he obeyed it, and so did the Messiah, so did Yahusha. In fact, he wrote it. Verse 16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made, he saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Messiah. Hope that didn't confuse too many of them either. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of Yahweh in Messiah, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. No promise of Yahusha to Abraham. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but Yahweh gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression. See, law came along, it was added later on, right? Wrong. See Jeremiah 7:22. For I gave them not the burnt offerings, the sin offerings, things like that. Jeremiah 7:22, and also Ezekiel, probably 20:25. My writing is kind of faded in here, so I can't read it. But till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by messengers and the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but Yahweh is one. Is the law then against the promises of Yahweh? Yahweh forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. Now, we're not saved by the law. We're not made righteous by it, but those are the standards by which we must adhere to, which Yahweh rots his spirit in us and causes us to walk in his laws. Ezekiel 36:26-27. Yeah, we're supposed to walk in them. Now, if this is going way over your head, it's going to take a little time. It's going to take maybe a lot of time. And don't be anxious. You'll learn sooner or later what it all means here and sort this out. It is not imperative that you understand every scripture verse here that is in the book of Galatians at this moment. At some other time, maybe you'll understand it. Verse 22, but the scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Yahusha Messiah might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept, quote, under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Messiah, that we might be justified or made right by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a tutor or schoolmaster. Now you can see the other scriptures relating to the same subject. For example, Isaiah 8:20 says that to the law and to the testimony, if we speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in us. So we have to be consistent and harmonize the scripture line upon line, here a little, there a little. Line upon line, here a little, there a little. Going to the whatever the particular subject is that we're studying, to look up some, most, or all the scriptures having to do with that. If it's under the heading of baptism or immersion, then we have to look up more than just one scripture about it. We really should, to be able to get a correct understanding. I mean, all of the scriptures about immersion. We'd have to go all the way back to somewhere there in Genesis. Anyway, verse 26, for you are all children of Yahweh by faith in Yahusha Messiah, for as many of you as have been immersed into Messiah, so there it is, or baptized, so there it is, that's important. So as many of you as have been immersed into Messiah have put on Messiah. What's the conclusion to that particular verse, Galatians 3:27? If you haven't been immersed into Messiah, then you haven't put on Messiah, would be the conclusion. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. Well, I think there's a distinction. that one has X chromosomes and the other has, or X and Y, and the other has Y chromosomes. For you are all one in Yahushua Messiah. For if you be Messiahs, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That's the end of the third chapter of the book of Galatians, there in verse 29. If you be Messiahs, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And no, I wasn't arguing with the scripture here about there isn't a male or female, there's no distinction. I mean, that's what the world would like us to think these days, that we're all kind of a generic society, and it doesn't matter whether you're Chinese or Japanese or Korean or Russian or French or American or what, that we're all just the same, that there is no distinction between a Western American and an Eastern American, that those accents and all, they want to break everything down to its lowest common denominator, so we all sound and look and act like, you know, we all look like a machine. You know, I don't go along with that unisex idea that is being promulgated today. We're supposed to be individuals. We each have our own particular characteristics that Yahweh has given us and that we've developed throughout our life, good or bad, and hopefully for the good. It will engender the good characteristics and let all the bad ones be stripped away by Yahweh and be stripped away by Yahushua the Messiah. For you are all one in Messiah. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Messiah. We're supposed to be one in Messiah. You know, they say, you know, thousands of different churches, different denominations, and then they try to make it sound like, but we all belong to the same faith. But they're conflicting ideas, contrasting and conflicting ideas. So that can't be that we're all in one faith and all the same Messiah, because the characteristics of their Messiah and your Messiah are totally different. The MO, modus operandi or whatever, you know, he has completely different plan than way down there at these other churches, some of these strange Eastern faiths and full of idolatry and mysticism and psychology and self-esteem and rejecting Yahweh's word, coming along with any kind of version, any kind of supposedly acceptable, any version of scripture, water it down, take it away, add to, take away, and so on. That's all wrong concepts, wrong actions. So, let's see. Okay, we did that. We did Galatians, and we are doing, or have we done yet? Did we did the book of Ephesians yet? Or maybe I was in Ephesians and didn't realize it at the time. No, we forgot. Oh, I think we forgot to do this, so, okay. Maybe not. Maybe I didn't. Ephesians 2:12. I'm under a lot of pressure, and this is a low-budget program. That at that time, Ephesians 2:12, that at that time you were without Messiah, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and you were strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without Yahweh in the world. Had no hope. But now in Messiah, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh or close by the blood of Messiah. You are made nigh and close by the blood of the Messiah. We're made nigh into the covenant. For he is our shalom, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. He, having abolished in his flesh the enmity against the law of commandments. Now, I've had to change that word, that added word even, it was in italics. Let me read it the way that they had it there. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. Yeah, the translators there were trying to do away with Yahweh's law, but it doesn't read that way, and those are added words. That did actually change the meaning of this sentence and of this Ephesians 2:15 So we could either leave out the italicized words, we could correct them. For he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity against the law of commandments, in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto Yahweh in one body by the tree at Calvary, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. So through whom? Through Yahusha, the Messiah, we have access by one Spirit, the Ruach HaKadosh, unto the Father, that's Yahweh. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the believers, the saints, and I don't use the word saints too often, and of the household of Yahweh, and are built upon the foundation of the emissaries and prophets. Yahusha Messiah himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a separated temple in Yahweh, a pure Mikdash in a Kodesh temple in Yahweh, in whom you also are built together for an habitation of Yahweh through the Spirit. The English there is rather difficult there. And some of the modern versions streamlined that and made it smoother so we can understand. Even the Living Bible, I'm sure, streamlined that Ephesians 2:22, but that doesn't mean that everything in the Living Bible is good, or that, say, the NIVs. No, there's a lot of problems in there. They take out Scripture and a lot at that. You know. Only one verse is bad enough, but they take it all out. So that was the end of Ephesians chapter 2. And then chapter 5, it says especially verse 27 that I highlighted. But 5 of Ephesians, be ye therefore followers of Yahweh as dear children, walk in love, as Messiah also has loved us and given himself for us an offering, and an offering to Yahweh for a sweet-smelling savor. Who is the sweet-smelling savor? That's us. Now, of course, if you're already saved, you don't need to listen to the rest of this, because it doesn't apply. You're already saved, so it doesn't matter. No, I'm only joking, but seriously, it's okay to joke about that, but seriously, fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints. But if we're saved, if we're once saved, we're always saved, right? What difference would it make if we're coveting or have some uncleanness and fornication, that's fooling around before marriage with the opposite sex, fooling around. Premarital relationships are to be avoided, and they are sinful. So let it not be once named among you as become a saint. And if it does happen, then you have to repent, and you have to be forgiven. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Now, does that mean you can't joke about anything? No, I don't think so. I think it means not making light of things. That's what jesting is. See also 2 Timothy 2 and 1 Corinthians 6:9 about the subject. For this we know, that no whoremonger, so that means a promoter of idolatry, let no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who would that include? That includes all of us. Nor covetous man who is an idolater. None of these have any inheritance in the kingdom of Messiah and of Yahweh. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Remember that first preacher there in the Garden of Eden? He had that suave haircut and the black stole. He was a great speaker who would have been sold a lot of CDs and DVDs, wouldn't he? Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of Yahweh upon the children of disobedience. So much for once saved, always saved, eternal security. So much for that. The real question is, how many sins does it take to offend Yahusha the Messiah? How many sins would it take to offend him? The answer, one. Just one sin. So we don't want to offend him. So let's stop thinking that way. Verse 7, be not you therefore partakers with them. But you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in Yahweh, walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto Yahweh, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And of course, the Protestant world, the protesting world, would turn that around and say, but rather approve them instead of reprove. See also 2 Thessalonians 3:14, where it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. You know, there's a lot of secret organizations that do strange things, like drinking out of a skull. Hope they're plastic ones. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever does make manifest is light. Wherefore he said, awake thou that sleeps, and arise from the dead, and Messiah shall also give light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. That's found here in Ephesians chapter 5. Going on to the next verse, 16. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Now this was written 2,000 years ago, so it's even more imperative now that we redeem our time. Got to make up for what we lost when we were out there as heathen, or after we were saved and we were just still kind of playing the game with Yahweh. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of Yahweh is. You mean we have to understand something? I thought you just got saved and that was just about the about it. Just went out and drank your tea and went to Sunday Mass. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. That's what being drunk is drinking too much wine. Otherwise, how could you have the Passover with Yahweh? But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to Yahweh, giving thanks always for all things unto Yahweh and the Father, in the name of Yahusha Messiah. I don't know what to do with L-O-R-D there. That's a Baal term, a Hellenistic word. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of Yahweh. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. And then the husband is the head of the wife, and so forth. Husbands, love your wives. Verse 25, even as Messiah loved the assembly and gave himself for it, that he might set apart you, cleanse you with the watering of the water of the word. Now, if you're just a new believer, you don't know what that is, but the washing of the water by the word, as we read the word, it makes us clean, white as snow. See Isaiah chapter 1, and if it's not there, then see chapter 2 in Isaiah. Washing of the water by the word, Yahusha's offering for us on the tree at Calvary washes away all of our sins if we repent all the way correctly, and then our sins shall be forgiven, will be white as snow. And there's a great song that they used to sing on that. It wasn't one of those off-the-wall songs. It was a song that had like four different stanzas to it. But anyway, maybe you wouldn't like it. I loved it. That he might present, set apart and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. That he might present it, that's the assembly, present us, the bride, the assembly, to himself. Magnificent church, a magnificent assembly, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. You mean be perfect even as our Heavenly Father is perfect? No, come on now. He doesn't expect us to get up to that standard, does he? Well, that's what he said, though, that we should strive to be perfect. He didn't say, you are perfect, perfectly perfect. He said, strive to do that. You don't just say, well, what does it matter? I'm going to give up. I'm not even going to try. Because I'm saved and that's all that he requires. If I get the lowest place in heaven, then that'll be enough for me. I've heard that, you know, all these excuses, these evangelii fishes making all kinds of alibis and excuses. And yeah, I know. And I could quote the scripture to them, and to them it goes in one ear and out the other. It's just like throwing a bucket of cold water back on you. They don't get excited when you quote the word. Even if it if it reproves them or causes them to want to grow in Messiah, it doesn't seem to excite that kind of a person. But it will to us. So that's the main thing anyway. We can't be worried about the tares out there too very much. So he might present it to himself a separated assembly, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be set apart, pure and without blemish. And then Revelation 19:7. Revelation 19:7, and I think I can pick that one up here. As we finish the broadcast at about 40 minutes on part two of the covenant, the law, and Romans, John, Galatians, Ephesians, part two, 19:7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. To her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen. Clean and white. That fine linen is the righteousness that Yahusha has given us through the offering on the tree, by his death, burial, and resurrection. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints, so apparently there's something that the believers or saints need to do to not just have a pseudo-righteousness, P-S-E-E-E-U-D-O, a pretend righteousness, but an actual spirit-wrought righteousness where really works do follow us. Good works, following Yahweh's law, is a perfect way, is teachings, Yahweh's teaching. For he saith unto me, right blessed are they which are called unto the marriage of the Lamb, the marriage supper. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of Yahweh. Verse 11, I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and is right in righteousness. He does judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of Yahweh. Revelation 19, verse 13. 19:13 of Revelation. This is Stephan Yaw. Thanks for joining us today. We're glad that you could be with us here on this Shabbat day as we give Yahweh our praises, the praises of our lips, of our actions, of keeping his word, his convocation. He has invited us to his table today, and so we fellowship with Yahweh in the reading of his word. Someone said, I'd like to have a sermon with 100 scriptures in there, not very much fill from the preacher. I don't know if we did 100, but we did a lot of them today. The more, the better, I think, in most situations there. Nehemiah, the preacher, did need to explain to the congregation what the scriptures meant, so we can elucidate a little bit and fill in where we are supposed to read different scriptures and harmonize them and show different places we go here, go to this book, go to that book, Ephesians, Galatians, Romans, John, and James, and so on. And we need to go to the whole Word of Yahweh, because he is the Word, says in John, the book of John, that's the so-called Gospel of John, chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. Now, let me quote it exactly. I may accidentally change one word or something, and then it would. In the beginning was the Word, John 1:1, and also 1 John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Yahweh, and the Word was, or is, the Word is Yahweh. The same was in the beginning with Yahweh. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So we'll go on, you know, read that. If you haven't, read John chapter 3, read the Torah, specific chapters that apply to your life, to your behavior, how it might how you might deal with your neighbor or something like that. Give us if you have any questions or comments, or you're not picking up the broadcast, it's not loud enough or clear enough, or I'm talking too fast or too slow or something? Or you just don't like me at all? No, don't put that one in there, but the email is stephanya@yahweh.name. And Maranatha, may Yahweh come back quickly. Very, very quickly. Things are not looking that good out there right now in the world, in the churches. They've gone way, way downhill from where they were that I first knew them 60 years ago. Their standards have changed. They no longer adhere to the same set of standards that they did back then, that they were good. They weren't perfect, but they were good standards. And now they've watered all of that down. Things have really been corrupted and twisted and glossed over. And, well, that's not everywhere, but that's most of the churches these days have unfortunately done that and gone downhill. Compromised. They've compromised with all the other pagan religions and so on. Pope allowing idolatry to be done there in the Vatican, allowing other Eastern religions to put, I mean, not that the Pope having the Mass there is any perfect example of anything, per se, but they brought in all these weird, queer statues of snakes and things that people idolize and worship those pagan idols and statues. Not to mention their own, that they have their own statues they shouldn't have in there. So things are getting worse even within the religions that we may or may not consider to be cults. And what else can I say? Praise Yahweh. Thank you. You know, this all proves that Yahweh's coming quickly, that he's going to be coming, and that prophecy is being fulfilled. All these signs are coming to pass. Things are not necessarily, not everything is getting better, morally speaking. And the standards of Yahweh's word are being ignored and neglected, and you know, if we were to listen to them, we'd go off with them and be as lethargic and wishy-washy and lukewarm and jellyfish as the rest of them, I guess. But there's not everyone that doesn't apply to everyone. You can go into some of these assemblies, pull them out, and you'll find some really on-fire people that just haven't discovered the truth yet and need to open up and hear the word. Maybe tune into a broadcast on KPJC, Salem, Oregon, or not that all those broadcasts are appropriate or accurate, but, you know, there's enough there to get the truth, to get saved, and to walk in Yahweh's statutes. And then as they grow on their own and their own personal study, not by listening to any particular commentary or speaker, but by reading the Word, that brings the pure faith and burns out all of the dross from out of our silver, symbolically speaking, in our life. It gets all of that digital and non-digital grunge out of our life and causes us to purify, be purified and walk in Yahweh's way. But that could be a long ways to go for some people, and for others, maybe just a little bit to go, but that little bit is a great, big, great, great big step. It's a giant jump, you know, to jump out of the Babylonian pile of filth, religious filth out there. May take a miracle. It will take a miracle. Thank you again. Shalom. Shalom.